It's 11 o'clock. This is KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. President Ford is flying south on Friday for his first campaign swing through Florida. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president will spend 2 days in Florida campaigning for that state's presidential primary. His stops will include Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, St. Petersburg, and Miami. The president's rival, Ronald Reagan, will also be in Florida this weekend. Some political observers have been saying Reagan may give the president a very hard time in New Hampshire and Florida. The president's campaign manager, Howard Calloway, was asked what would happen to the president's campaign if he loses those two states.
We're dug in for the long haul. We're not throwing everything in the first few. But if we should lose New Hampshire and Florida, which we certainly don't intend to do, we would just be going into our states that are our good states. Everybody that I've talked to says that New Hampshire is his best northern state and Florida is his best southern state.
More news in a moment.
The most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. It's Contac. It contains no ingredients for aches and fever, no cough medicine, yet gives you longer relief per dose than any pill, any liquid. Full-time 24-hour relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. Contac. It's tiny time pills contain ingredients to work up to 12 hours. That's longer relief per dose from those symptoms than any pill, any liquid. So, give your cold a Contac all day, all night. Full time. Use only as directed.
The U.S. government has sent a representative to Guatemala, which was devastated by an earthquake last week. Bernard Goldberg has a report from Guatemala City.
President Ford's special emissary, Daniel Parker, arrived in Guatemala to make an on-the-scene survey of the damage caused by the earthquake. Parker says he is to report back to the president Sunday or Monday on the amount of emergency and long-term financial aid Guatemala is likely to need from the United States. So far, the United States has committed more than $3.5 million to Guatemala, and Parker has said he believes total U.S. aid will exceed the $12 million contributed to Nicaragua for similar aid after an earthquake there in 1972. Parker, President Ford's special coordinator for international disaster assistance, flew by helicopter into the Guatemalan mountains to see firsthand the damage caused by the February 4th earthquake. Bernard Goldberg, CBS News, Guatemala City.
Latest government figures list 19,000 people killed in that earthquake in Guatemala and about 1.5 million left homeless. Dr. Robert DuPont, the head of the National Institute on Drug Abuse, says he thinks that marijuana is safer, health-wise, than either alcohol or tobacco. Dr. DuPont said marijuana would be preferable because both alcohol and tobacco can be lethal. But, he said, if it were up to him, he would stop the use of all these drugs. An explosion apparently caused by a bomb tore through a cottage at the mountaintop castle near San Simeon, California, built nearly a half a century ago by the grandfather of Patricia Hearst. The complex had been built to house the art collection of the publishing magnate, the late William Randolph Hearst. No one was injured. In San Francisco, Patricia Hearst's parents requested police protection for the family and said the bombing was the work of vicious, terrible people like those who kidnapped Miss Hearst. In San Francisco, the bank robbery trial of Miss Hearst continues. The prosecution may wind up its presentation on Friday. The W.T. Grant Company, which has been in serious financial trouble for some time, is going out of business. A federal bankruptcy judge in New York has signed the papers declaring the firm bankrupt and ordering its liquidation within 60 days. Its 24,000 employees will lose their jobs. Now this.
Lifestyle 1776. If you lived in New England in colonial times, you found the sea easier to harvest than the stony land. But what impressed one English visitor even more than the abundance of fish was the abundance of opportunity for a common seaman to rise in rank, even to become the master of his own ship. One colonial captain noted that all of his original 13 crewmates rose to command their own vessels, unheard of in England, where naval officers came only from the ruling class. Such was the lifestyle of the sea in 1776. I'm Mike Wallace, CBS News. On our next bicentennial weekend special, February 14th and 15th, we'll explore 30 aspects of colonial America, from entertainment, marriage, city and farm life, to the social and political life in the inns and taverns and town meetings. Lifestyle 1776, a visit to yesterday, on our next bicentennial weekend special from CBS News, February 14th and 15th, here on the CBS Radio Network.
In San Mateo, California, a Brinks armored car driver told his partner he was going to deliver a case of champagne to his girlfriend who works in a restaurant. The man then put a box on a handcar and wheeled it into the restaurant. Then the Brinks driver disappeared. Also missing is a box full of money, conservatively estimated at $500,000. Police and the FBI are looking for the guard, 26-year-old Richard Reese. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Northwest News tonight, more than 100 uniformed police officers from Oregon and Washington attended funeral services in Pendleton today for Police Sergeant John Christensen. He was fatally stabbed last Friday. A 15-year-old boy was being held as a suspect. Police officers from as far away as Portland and Ontario were present at the funeral, as well as several from Walla Walla and Dayton, Washington. Police say the 40-year-old, 12-year veteran of the Pendleton Police Department was trying to take custody of a girl who escaped from the Umatilla County Juvenile Detention Center earlier that night. They say that he was stabbed by the girl's boyfriend, 15-year-old Darrell Thompson. Court action has been delayed in the boy's case. The Oregon Supreme Court has ruled property belonging to the Skyline Assembly of God in Church in Linn County can't be exempted from property taxes if the religious organization failed to file a claim for the exemption. The court today upheld an Oregon tax court ruling that the religious organization could not claim the disputed tax exemption because it did not file for it as required by law. The Assembly of God claimed the county assessor failed to notify the church of its intention to place the church property on the local property tax rolls. The Supreme Court brushed aside that argument, however, observing the county assessor could not have known the property was in use by the church unless he were formally notified. Seven persons suffered minor injuries during an apartment house blaze in southeast Portland today. Five persons, including two firemen, were treated for smoke inhalation. One woman suffered bruises, and a 59-year-old tenant, Willis King, leaped from the second-floor apartment window and was admitted to the hospital for observation with no apparent injuries. Two-alarm blaze was confined to a second-floor apartment. Total damage was estimated at $5,300. Cause of that blaze is under investigation. Weather forecast for Portland and Vancouver. Increasing rain Friday, showers Friday night and Saturday with periods of partial clearing. Lows near 40, highs about 50 degrees. Our chance of rain is increasing to 80% Friday and Friday night. Keep in touch with 97 News. I'm Cliff Hansen.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Psychoanalysis is said by analysts mainly, and feebly as well, to be a science. But it is also an art. It is not enough to have read all the books, passed all the examinations, served one's apprenticeship, and undergone analysis oneself. The analyst must have more than education and training. There must be, besides and beyond all that, a distinct talent, a feeling for the work, exactly as in painting a picture, writing a book, or composing a symphony.
I saw it so clearly. The golden chalice. Tall, round, beautiful. Even after I woke up, I could still see it. Proud, self-sufficient. Oh, the way I want to be. You understand?
Yes. Go on.
That's all?
I think not.
The golden chalice. But it's not mine. I don't think it will ever be mine. It belongs to someone else.
Our mystery drama, The Golden Chalices, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Norman Rose and Carmen Matthews. It is sponsored in part by Luden's Medicated Cough Drops and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Not all batteries are created equal. Some last a lot longer than others, like the unequaled Ever-Ready Alkaline Power Cell batteries from your nearby True Value Hardware Store. Hi, Pat Summerall here with the details. They are unequaled because they use a chemical system that's entirely different from that of regular batteries. The extra power they provide makes them ideal for portable radios, tape recorders, any device you use frequently or for long periods of time. And they'll hold their power for months when they're not in use. So they're perfect for devices you use only once in a while, like calculators, cameras, and flashlights. True Value Hardware Stores offer Ever-Ready Alkaline Power Cell batteries in popular C, D, and AA sizes. So you'll get power you can depend upon with the battery that was created more equal than others. Ever-Ready Alkaline Power Cell batteries are just one of the many values you'll find at the participating True Value Hardware Store near your home. Just look under Hardware in the yellow pages.
You're listening to the beginning of something. An automobile commercial? No. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of a new phase in a man's life. A man who looks different, moves differently, speaks differently, because he was born with cerebral palsy. The new phase in his life began when he started the engine of that car and drove off with his brand new operator's license in his pocket. His name is Joe Elko, man with cerebral palsy, college student, and now automobile driver. It upsets some people to see Joe get into that car. In fact, it upsets some people to see him at all. That's because they don't understand that although Joe may look different, inside he's no different than anyone else. He and United Cerebral Palsy are looking forward to the day when everyone will understand. In the meantime, Joe joins us in hoping you'll give generously to United Cerebral Palsy. They had a hand in helping him become what he is today, a man with a future.
Psychoanalysis is the transference. That is, the transference to the analyst of all the patient's feelings, hostile as well as friendly, murderous as well as loving. And it is midway in the evolution of one particular transference that our story has its beginning.
Will you open the door, Lily?
Of course.
It's little Miss Roth, I think.
I'm late. Oh, do come in.
Oh, thank you very much.
You'll excuse me. I'll tell the doctor you're here.
Oh, of course.
He'll be right with you.
Thank you very much, I'm sure.
Well, Miss Roth.
Oh, I know I'm late. I'm so sorry.
As a rule, you're so prompt. It is not like you to be late.
Well, I'm late because I...
Come into the study. You feel as though you would like to lie on the couch today?
First, I want to explain about being late. I stopped on my way to buy these.
Ah, daffodils.
The first of the year.
The sign that spring is coming.
I brought them for you.
For me? Why should you be bringing me a gift?
Well, because I wanted to. You've been so good to me.
Oh, not at all.
Taking me on as a patient when I hardly had any money. Oh, I know what you usually charge, doctor. And it's 10 times what I'm paying you.
It was our agreement.
But you didn't have to do it. And I'm so grateful. They are lovely, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
They're like chalices, aren't they? 12 little gold chalices.
Very like.
Why did I say chalices? never used that word before in my life. I should have said cups, shouldn't I?
Chalice is a lovely word.
But it's kind of a Catholic word, isn't it? It's what Christ drank out of at the Last Supper. I should have said cup.
Why?
Well, because I'm Jewish. Are you Jewish, Dr. von Fodor?
No.
Are you Catholic?
My parents were Catholic. I am not.
Well, then why'd you run away from Hitler? If you don't mind telling me.
My wife is Jewish.
Oh.
Come, let's get back to why you brought me these 12 golden chalices.
I told you why. I'm grateful to you.
Nothing else?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Ah. Tell me, have you had any dreams since our last session?
I never dream. I told you that.
Everyone dreams.
Not me.
Dreams give us one way to clear the rubbish out of our minds.
Is that why I'm so neurotic? Because my mind is full of rubbish?
Very valuable rubbish.
Nobody ever thought anything about me was valuable.
Did you ever think anything about you could be valuable?
I guess I never did.
And so you chose a sweetheart who would reinforce your own opinion of yourself. Isn't that so?
I always pick the wrong man.
No, no. You always have the wrong opinion that you have not value. Till that opinion is righted, you will go on picking the wrong man.
I see. I guess.
I would like to go back to the daffodils, the 12 little golden cups, and why you brought them to me.
I just thought they'd look nice here.
That is all?
They won't if you don't put them in water pretty soon.
You only thought they would look nice here?
Well, it's such a gloomy room. I didn't mean that the way it sounded. I mean, I didn't mean it's gloomy. I just meant...
Yes, you meant...
It's very nice here. And you are very nice. And you're kind and gentle and good to me. And I just wanted to bring you something pretty.
Yes, but why 12 little golden cups?
I don't know. Because they're pretty. Because I thought you'd like them. Oh, I don't know why I brought them. I'm sorry I did. Look, I can't stay here any longer today.
The hour is not yet up.
I can't help it. Look, I have to go home. I'm so upset.
Well, as you like.
I'll be back next week. And I won't be late. And I won't bring you anything. And I'll try to behave better.
You think you behave badly?
I don't know. Didn't I? Did I? I just know I have to get out of here. Forgive me, please.
Lily, please, will you come here?
Yes, Hans.
Lily, put these in water, will you?
Oh, how sweet, how lovely.
A gift from little Miss Roth. Ah, well, we make progress slowly.
A nice girl, is she?
Ah, yes, very nice. Very lost.
I'll put these in a vase, and then supper will be ready when you are.
She said the daffodils look like 12 golden cups.
12? Golden cups.
Mm. Well, they do, don't they?
Oh, Hans, it takes me back to Hungary, those last days.
No, my dear, those last days. Well, they were the last days. Don't try to bring them back. Still, it is interesting, isn't it, that she should have brought me 12 golden cups.
Isn't that wonderful, Dr. von Fodor? I actually had a dream.
Yes, very helpful.
And I remembered it.
Tell me the dream again, please.
Well, there was this man sitting in his chair.
As I am sitting?
I guess so. Well, in the dream, I went up to him where he was sitting. And I climbed onto his lap. And he said, "Kiss me, darling." I put my arms around his neck, and then...
Yes, and then?
Oh, then comes the sad part. Because I was so happy until then.
What happened to spoil your happiness?
Well, just as I was going to kiss him, he turned his face away. And he said...
Yes?
He turned his face away. As though he was disgusted. And he said, go away. You're a nuisance. I woke up. I was crying.
What did the man look like?
I couldn't see his face. I told you the room was dark.
Dark? Would you say gloomy?
Oh, you could say gloomy, I guess.
Like this room?
What?
Last week you called this room gloomy. You said you brought the daffodils because this room is gloomy.
Did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember saying that.
I remember.
Then why don't I remember?
Because you choose not to.
Well, why would I choose? I'm getting all mixed up.
Now try to relax and say whatever comes to mind.
Are you trying to make me say that the man in the chair was you?
I am not trying to make you say anything but what is on your mind.
You mean you said, kiss me, darling. I can't imagine you saying anything like that.
Except in your dream. Go back to the latter part of the dream, after you started to kiss the man in the chair.
Oh, the not so nice part.
Yes, the not so nice part.
Well, I started to kiss him. Because he had asked me to, you understand. By myself, I never would have done it. But he asked me to kiss him. And I started to. And he turned away. And he said, go away. You're a pest. And the sad part was that he said it just at that particular moment. Just when I was feeling so happy and so loving.
Just a moment. Excuse me. He said you are a pest.
Yes. Just as I'd started to kiss him.
Before you told me, he said, go away, you are a nuisance. Now you say, pest. Why?
What's the difference? Nuisance, pest. They mean the same thing. What hurt was that he didn't want me around. I annoyed him.
Have I ever made you feel that you annoyed me?
Oh, no, never.
Then who did?
My father. Oh, he never said that I annoyed him. He never called me a pest. It's just the way he made me feel.
And feelings are what we are coming to grips with here. Well, that's the end of the hour. Next week, same time. Yes?
Hans?
Oh, yes, Lily.
What are you doing here? Just sitting here?
Oh, just thinking.
Goulash for supper with tarhonya.
Ah, good.
Are you worried about something?
Not worried, no.
What then?
I am thinking about a dream that a patient told me. In the dream, she climbed onto a man's lap. The man said, kiss me. But as she started to kiss him, he turned away in disgust and said, go away, you are a nuisance. At least that is the way my patient told it to me, at first. And then later, when I asked her to repeat the dream to me, she quoted the man as saying, go away, you are a pest.
So?
Lily, what does that suggest to you?
An unhappy person? Should it suggest something else?
Well, this was the first time my patient had been able to remember a dream, which indicated to me that the transference was beginning to take form and shape.
Yes?
More important than that, I appeared in the dream. Oh, she denied that the man could be myself, that I could ever be so cruel or so intimate either. But it was quite clear to me that it was myself in the dream. Myself. As the good father who asked his daughter to kiss him. Then, as the cruel and arbitrary father who said, go away, you are a nuisance. Or a pest. When the patient begins to put the analyst in her dreams, we may be pretty sure the analysis is making progress.
Oh, Hans, really, the goulash will be spoiled. Hadn't we best continue this at the dinner table?
Lily, one second. Now, does nothing sound familiar to you in the few spoken words of this dream? Kiss me and you are a pest.
You mean kiss pest? Our kiss pest in Hungary?
It is just a notion, of course. The patient who had the dream knows nothing of Hungary, of you and me, or kiss pest.
Where you and I were born. Where we went to school, where we fell in love.
Where we married.
Where... Oh, Hans, perhaps I should not ask, but was this patient little Miss Roth?
Yes, it was.
But she is the one who brought you the daffodils?
Yes.
And she called them 12 golden cups?
Yes, Lily, that is right.
But when you and I were married in Kispecht, my parents gave us...
Yes, 12 solid gold goblets.
12 golden cups.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, is it not?
Well, is it possible that the cups are still there?
Oh, now.
It could be true. Couldn't
they? They are not there. We looked, didn't we? After the war, we dug all around the cherry tree at my father's house, and they were not there.
Your father might have moved them, mightn't he? Before the Nazis took him away.
That was all more than 30 years ago, Lily. Who knows what happened to them?
But if they exist somewhere, they must exist somewhere, mustn't they?
Yes, probably in the mansion of some high German official.
But perhaps not. Perhaps when the Germans came, your father found another hiding place for them. Perhaps this patient is trying to tell you...
Now, Lily, you are not to indulge in such fantasies.
But you know how much those golden goblets meant to me. Not just because they were beautiful and valuable, but because my parents gave them to me. Oh, if only your little Miss Roth...
Could... Lily, even if it were possible, and it is not possible, for Miss Roth to know anything of the whereabouts of 12 golden chalices, I am not going to try to make some sort of Delphic oracle of my patient. Try to make her locate our old treasure like some witch. No. No, Lily, she is my patient. The hour each week is devoted to her health, her welfare, not ours. So, let us not talk about it anymore. Come, let us go have our goulash.
We said earlier that psychoanalysis is not simply a science, that it partakes of the nature of an art. And this is true. We did not say, however, that it partakes of the nature of magic. No, we did not say that, and we do not mean to imply that. But is it not possible that what appears to be magical may, in truth, be both scientific and artistic? I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build LeSabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick LeSabre, free spirit in the family size.
With great taste in every box, wild cherry, sweet and savory, menthol, cool and flavory, honey, the way you wish, with lemon or licorice, all you can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste.
The medicated cough drops that don't taste medicated, they taste great. Use only as directed.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The Bible tells of King Nebuchadnezzar, who dreamed dreams that troubled his sleep. One day he commanded his magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers to recreate a particular dream and to interpret it. Daniel, gifted by God with the ability to interpret dreams, told the king his dream and its meaning. Upon hearing Daniel, the king exclaimed, "Of truth it is, that your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets. Dreams and visions are ways in which God can speak to man. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Young Mary Roth brought a dozen daffodils to her analyst, Dr. von Fodor, calling them 12 golden chalices. The following week, she brought him a dream in which a man asked her to kiss him, but then said to her, "Go away, you are a pest." Dr. von Fodor told all this to his wife. She thought of 12 golden goblets, which had been her parents' gift at the time of her marriage, in a small Hungarian town called Kispest. Now, it is a week later.
Yes?
Hans, may I speak with you?
Lily, please. Am I to have no rest at all between one patient and the next?
You're expecting Miss Roth, aren't you?
Yes.
That's why I wanted to talk to you. I want to tell you what I propose to do.
Lily, what is it?
I want to write to your sister in Kispest.
But you write to Elizabeth regularly, don't you?
But this is different. I want to ask her to have the gardener dig all around the cherry tree.
Lily, we did all that before. When the family, what was left of it, moved back to Kispest after the war, the first thing they did was dig around the cherry tree to find the gold cups, and they were not there. Someone had found them and taken them. Is it not perfectly clear that this is what happened?
But little Miss Roth, the daffodils, and then her dream, they must mean something.
To her, not to us.
I can't help thinking that her flowers and her dream must have meaning for us, too.
No, the dream originated in her head. The daffodils were purchased with her money and brought here in her hands. Now, I forbid you to write to Elizabeth. Or if you write, say nothing at all about the golden cups or the cherry tree. You understand me? No, that is Miss Roth.
I'll let her in.
Say nothing to her about any of this. You hear?
I hear. Yes, coming. Oh, Miss Roth.
Hello, Mrs. von Fodor. I'm not late, am I?
I don't think so. The doctor is in his study.
I've brought him something. Maybe I'd better give them to you, because men are very careless about such things, and these really need to be put in water.
Lily!
What are these?
They look like bare branches, don't they? But they're not. If you put them in water, they'll bloom. It's called forcing, and it's fun.
Lily, what is going on here? What is the delay?
Miss Roth brought us some branches. She says if we put them in water, they will bloom.
Well, what kind of branches?
They're from a cherry tree.
A cherry tree?
I'll put them in water right away. Then I'll write... No, I'll send a cable, Hans, to your sister, Elizabeth.
You want to lie down on the couch? What do you prefer, Miss Roth?
Oh, I don't need the couch, Dr. von Fodor. As a matter of fact, I don't need you. That's what I came to tell you.
Oh, well, that is good news. Every analyst waits for the day when his patient will say, "I do not need you anymore."
Well, I don't need you.
Rather an abrupt change, isn't it? From a young girl who was so dependent on her old doctor?
I guess it is sudden. Or maybe I never needed you at all. I just thought I did.
Is there a difference?
You're mixing me all up.
I apologize. Well, now, since this is to be your last hour with me, tell me something. Why did you buy me a branch from a cherry tree?
Oh, I didn't buy it. I took it.
Took it?
Stole it. I guess that's the right word for it.
You stole the branch from the cherry tree? Why?
No special reason. It just seemed like a good idea at the time.
From where did you steal it?
From a cherry tree on somebody's big old lawn near a big old house in the suburbs. Aren't you going to ask me what I was doing on the lawn of somebody's big old house in the suburbs?
What were you doing there?
I was with him. He took me to meet his parents.
By him, you mean...
I mean him. The man I thought was so terrible. The man I thought didn't love me. The man who nearly drove me crazy, so I came running to you, begging you to take me on as a patient. That very man. Incredible, isn't it?
Yes.
But it's true. He called me up yesterday, just when I was feeling depressed beyond recognition. And he said he had his parents' car, and how would I like to drive out to the suburbs to meet them? Well, that could only mean one thing.
What was that?
Why, that he wanted to marry me, of course. That's what it always means.
I see.
In the car, he told me over and over how much he loved me.
But he had told you that before.
Oh, this was different. This time he's taking me to meet his parents.
Did he say anything about a marriage?
No, not then.
Later?
No. That'll all come after a while. His parents were very nice. They liked me. I could tell they did. I had a very good time. And I didn't feel self-conscious or unsure, not one bit. Actually, I stole the branch off the cherry tree because I felt like it. I felt so bold.
Why did you not ask the parents of the young men to give you a branch off the cherry tree?
I don't know. I'm sure they would have. But you'll notice, I hope, that I didn't come running to you full of guilt about the terrible thing I did, the way I used to. Doesn't that show you how well I am?
I wish you every happiness.
I know you do.
And you know that if you need me, I'm here.
I know. Thank you.
Come, let me see you to the door and speed you on your way, since this is the last time you'll need me.
Oh, it is.
Young ladies do sometimes have problems after marriage, you know, as well as before.
I suppose.
Oh, Miss Rolfe.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Van Todor.
Lily.
I wonder, would you do me a great favor? I have here a cable that I'd like to send to my sister-in-law in Hungary.
Lily.
A little town, a suburb of Budapest. It's called Kispest. If you would pass by a cable office on your way, would you send it for me?
Oh, of course.
Oh, Lily.
Here it is. All written out. And here is the money. I know what the charges are. All right.
Of course.
Miss Rolfe, there is no necessity for you to...
Oh, listen, I do pass the telegraph office on my way home. There's one next door to where I live, as a matter of fact.
Quite a coincidence.
So, I'll be happy to.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a worry off my mind.
Dr. Van Fodor, thank you for everything.
Nothing to thank me for.
Well, I won't argue with you. Not on my last visit. Mrs. Van Fodor, don't worry about your cable. It'll go out tonight.
Oh, you're very kind.
I'm happy to do it. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Roth.
Goodbye. Her last visit, did she say?
Lily, how could you? How could you send that cable to Elizabeth just because Miss Roth came here with a branch from a cherry tree?
But I'm sure...
It means nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, what did the cable say? Not that I do not know already.
Dig again under cherry tree. New information about golden cups.
Oh, information? We have had no information about the gold cups, nor will we ever have any.
The girl bringing the daffodils, calling them golden chalices. The dream she had about the man saying first, kiss me, and then, you are a pest. Which adds up to kiss pest, where our gold cups were buried beneath a cherry tree. Then your Miss Roth shows up here with a cherry tree branch?
You call that information? Making wild deductions from dreams and pieces of words and chance gifts?
Hans, the girl knows something. Or she doesn't know that she knows, heavens. She was not even born when we buried the gold cups beneath the cherry tree in Kispest, but she knows something. You said yourself
that a communication can build up between a doctor and his patient so that each can often sense what the other is thinking and feeling.
I did not mean anything like this fairy tale stuff you're dreaming about.
But somehow she knows.
Oh, silly Lily.
That's why I gave the cablegram to her. She should send it. I could have sent it myself, but this way her touch will be upon it.
Lily, stop it. In God's name, stop
it. If there is a chance that my beautiful cups are still buried beneath the cherry tree...
Lily, there is no chance. And you should not be thinking about the gold cups or Hungary. We are here, Lily, and this is now.
I'm sorry, Hans.
It's all right. I only hope you did not take my mind off little Miss Roth's analysis. I hope I gave her full value. Because I confess I, too, had strange flutterings of hope that her dream fantasies might mean something for us. That we might, in this weird, altogether bizarre manner, find our lost golden chalices.
What did the girl mean when she said her last visit?
What?
When she was saying her goodbyes, at one point she said, I won't argue with you. On my last visit, what did that mean?
Oh, that. Well, it seems her young man does love her after all. He took her to meet his parents. He told her many times he loved her. In fact, he did everything she hoped he would do, except propose. She is sure that he will propose very soon. But it is my opinion that she still has her doubts and is very angry that he should delay the proposal. That is why, in revenge for his cruelty, she stole the branch from the cherry tree.
Stole it?
It was a threat to the young man that she was capable of dark and terrible deeds if he did not do the right thing by her.
Oh, Hans. Come, let's have dinner. It's chicken paprikash.
The symbolism of dreams, pieces of words, chance gifts, fairy tale stuff? Should such things give us flutterings of hope that something very desirable is about to alter our fates? I think not. I think we should be stern, face reality with courage, day after day after day. Yes, that is what we should do. But do we do it? No. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then...
Talk to the good hands people.
First question, does your present group plan cover all x-rays and lab tests other than in routine physical exams? If not...
Talk to the good hands people.
Does your present group plan provide disability income protection to help replace your employees' paychecks and yours? If not...
Talk to the good hands people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
See your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies, available in most states to businesses that qualify.
Hello there, this is Jim Backus. You know, I asked my friend, Mr. Magoo, have you ever heard of the disease of prosperity? You probably have, only you've heard of it as heart attack. It's called the disease of prosperity because the risk factors that increase the chances of heart attack are usually the result of prosperous living condition. Childhood habits. Some children get in the habit of watching TV instead of exercising. Smoking often begins in the teens or sometimes even earlier. And by the time they reach middle age, many of them are overweight, inactive, and have high levels of cholesterol and other fatty substances in the blood. High blood pressure is also common at that age. Any one of these conditions or risk factors increases the chance of heart attack. A combination of two or more multiplies that risk. One way you can protect your heart is to see your doctor. Another way is to support your Heart Association's efforts to find more of the answers to heart attack. So give to the Heart Fund now. And thank you very much.
Little Miss Roth left her analyst's office in a state of euphoria because her young man had taken her to meet his parents, a sign, at least to her, that he would soon propose marriage. With her, she took a message written out by her doctor's wife to send by cable to the doctor's sister in the small Hungarian town of Kispest. As we resume our story, it is a month later.
Are you tired, Hans?
Yes, a little.
You're not eating much.
I'm thinking, Lily.
About your former patient?
Which former patient?
Little Miss Roth.
No. Perhaps by now she's on her honeymoon.
Hans, I'm sorry I behaved so stupidly about Miss Roth.
Well, that's all in the past.
Perhaps I was jealous. Envious of her youth, her charm. That was probably what made me lose my mind a little.
It is all in the past.
I was somehow determined to make her responsible for the fact that I'm 60 years old and no longer the girl you married. The girl whose parents gave her 12 golden cups for a wedding present. I felt she owed it to me to get me back my gold cups. What I really wanted to get back was my youth and the ability to look forward, not back.
Oh, Lily, that is a very admirable analysis. I'm proud of you.
You give me courage to tell you something. I got a letter this morning from Elizabeth.
Oh?
They dug under the cherry tree for the second time.
And?
They found nothing.
So someone did steal the golden cups.
It must be so.
Just as Miss Roth stole the branch from the cherry tree.
Hans, are you beginning to believe in the same nonsense you reproached me for? Come now, my darling.
It is just interesting sometimes to muse upon these coincidences.
Don't tell me that's the way you conduct an analysis.
Well, it is not so different. Sometimes we are right, sometimes not.
Oh, the phone. I'll get it.
No. Stay where you are. You've not finished eating. I have. Yes, Dr. Van Vorder here.
Dr. Van Vorder? This is Mary Roth.
Mary Roth?
You remember me, don't you? Oh, please remember me.
I do remember you.
Doctor, I need to see you so badly. I know this is an awful time to ask you. You're probably at dinner.
No, it's all right. I had finished. Can you come over right now?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I'll be right there.
A liar and a cheat. He never meant to marry me at all. He just did all those things, taking me to meet his parents. He wanted to make me love him, so that he could toss me aside, laugh at me, make me feel ashamed and humiliated.
That may have been his reason, or it may have been that he is just a very callow, very insensitive young man who believed he was justified in doing anything to achieve mastery over a young woman. It is a common belief. Your young man is not so unusual.
He's not my young man. Not anymore.
I'm happy to hear that.
I don't know how I ever could have loved him.
I wouldn't wish to force you to any conclusion, but you have already had some analysis. So, I will ask you, who else in your life has sent you gifts, given you treats, encouraged your affection, even forced his affection on you, only to reject you when you sought to return his love? Can you think of anyone?
I know what you want me to say. My father.
I do not want you to say anything you do not believe.
I do believe what I said.
Are you feeling a little better now?
A little.
We've almost come to the end of the hour. But I wish to say one thing more. Why did you bring me the bunch of lilacs?
Oh, Are you going to start all that again?
I must.
Can I bring you a little present now and then? I don't do it all the time.
You pay your bills. You owe me no more than that.
I didn't bring the lilacs because I thought I owed you anything. I bought them because...
Yes, because?
Because I wanted to.
No, that will not serve as a reason. Not anymore. We must have something more specific. Did you bring the lilacs as a sort of peace offering? Did you think I was angry that you stopped coming to see me? Or were you angry that I had been right, more right anyway than you had been, about the young man?
Maybe something like that.
I want you to think about it. It is important for us to know why you have these impulses to give me something. You remember the daffodils and the branch of the cherry tree?
I remember.
And now the lilacs. Why?
I'll think about it. I'm sorry, Dr. Von Fodor.
There's nothing to be sorry for. There is no harm done. But unless you can analyze your reasons, you must stop bringing me gifts. You understand?
I think so.
Good. Now we have come to the end of the hour.
Thank you for seeing me.
Do you want to come back?
I'd like to. For a few weeks, maybe.
Then I'll reserve the hour for you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Not at all. See you next week.
Yes. Goodbye.
Oh, my, my, my. Life is not so simple. Lily? Lily?
Yes, Hans?
Look, there are some lilacs here. Will you put them in water?
He wanted me to go out with him. And I did.
No reason not to go out with him.
Oh, Dr. Von Fodor, I'm still very... well, attracted to him.
He is doubtless a very attractive young man. Or you would not have bothered with him in the first place.
Do you mean that?
Of course I mean it. Else I would not say it.
I feel as though you just forgave me for something.
For being attracted to an attractive young man?
Something like that.
As though you had done something dreadful?
Yes.
It is the end of the hour. Next week we will pick up our conversation where we leave off today.
I went out with him again. He's really very good looking. I love to look at him. And he's a wonderful conversationalist. I mean, he always has something to say. Sometimes he's very witty. He makes me laugh. And I like that.
Of course. Why not? Well, we've come to the end of the hour. Same time next week.
He gave me a present. A compact. Imagine! He doesn't even know that girls don't use compacts anymore. Me, I don't even use makeup of any kind. You'd think he would have noticed that by now.
Does it hurt you that he did not notice?
Oh, no. No, it doesn't. It just makes me think he's kind of dumb. And he's not so sophisticated as he thinks he is, either. Or he'd know that girls don't carry compacts. Naturally, I didn't tell him that.
Why didn't you?
Oh, I wouldn't want to hurt his feelings. No. No, that's not why. It's because I felt sorry for him for being so dumb. Anyway, I'll find a way to let him know that it was a dumb thing to do.
You will have your revenge, is that it?
Oh, no, not... Yes, Doctor. That is it. Oh, isn't it nice to know? Anyway, I think he's too old for me. I asked him. I came right out and asked him.
Well, why not?
Well, because I don't ordinarily do that sort of thing. I'm usually afraid people will think I'm... fresh or pushy or whatever. Anyway, I asked him. And you know what, Doctor? He'll be 30 next month. Imagine, 30!
You have a good appetite, yes?
Yes, wonderful.
You eat more and more all the time?
Will you still love me when I'm fat?
Remember a month ago? When you had hardly any appetite at all?
Oh, it was never that bad.
I thought perhaps it was because of your failure with little Miss Roth.
Well, perhaps it was. Nobody likes to fail.
But now she's back. How is it going?
Oh, well enough.
She doesn't bring you any more daffodils? Or cherry blooms? Or lilacs?
No. She is afraid to analyze why she ever brought them in the first place.
Do you know why?
Of course. It is not hard.
Why?
Now. I'm not going to discuss Miss Roth with you. I will not tell you why she brings me flowers any more than I will tell her. She must discover why by herself.
And will she?
Of course. She's achieving a beautiful honesty about herself.
Well, as long as she's getting better...
Oh, yes, definitely.
Then I can tell you something.
What? Since when have you hesitated to tell me anything?
Well, I did not want to interfere with Miss Roth's analysis the way I did before.
You do not have to be afraid of interfering.
Hans, I did something.
Yes, what did you do?
A month ago. Right after Miss Roth came back into analysis. Oh, I hate to tell you, but I must.
Yes, Lily, you must. What did you do?
I wrote to Elizabeth.
Yes?
You remember the lilacs?
Of course I remember. Oh, Lily, you didn't. Oh, Lily.
I couldn't help it. I so wanted to get back my 12 golden cups. So I wrote to Elizabeth and I told her to dig under the lilac bushes.
And the place in Kispecht has no lilac bushes.
I know, but right next door, almost on her property, right at the edge in back, there are three lilac bushes.
Oh, she didn't. You're not going to tell me that she...
Yes.
She went...
Yes, she did. She... Well, here's the letter. Read it.
Dearest Lily, you can imagine how I hated to go to the people next door. They are not friends, acquaintances only. But your letter was so insistent, so frantic. Oh, Lily.
Go on reading.
So frantic that I had to do it, if only to relieve your mind. The neighbors were most obliging. Perhaps they thought me a dotty old lady to be humored. Well, Lily, dear, if that is what they thought, they soon changed. Because buried under the lilac bushes, only about a foot below the surface, where they must have lain since Father put them here before the Nazis took him away, there were the 12 golden chalices. I cannot express to you my emotion upon seeing them.
Who comes closer to the truth? The scientist or the artist? Well, is it really necessary to state so flatly that there is only one place where truth can be found and only one way to find it? I think not. Truth lies all around us. It is not hiding from us. It is we who hide from the truth. How long will it be before we pause to listen to our scientists and to our artists? How long before we listen to the truth? I'll be back shortly.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
Aretha Franklin speaking for the March of Dimes. Ever feel as though you had 1,000 different problems you didn't know how to tackle? Well, the March of Dimes copes with that many problems every day. There are over 1,000 different birth defects, and the March of Dimes is seeking ways to prevent them through research, medical service, and public education programs. The work the March of Dimes does today makes for a healthier tomorrow for our children. Give generously to the March of Dimes.
I hope I have not sounded either smug or pompous when I have spoken of the search for truth and the long and various roads by which it may be reached. For I am like you, like everyone, terrified of finding that which I seek, evading constantly that which I look for, like you, like everyone, a coward. What is it one poet said? Coward, take my coward's hand. Our cast included Norman Rose, Jetta Roland, and Carmen Matthews. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Hold it right there, Injun.
What?
You get yourself a fighting gun like I told you.
Oh, you, Mike. No, I didn't.
Well, that's too bad. I'll tell you what. I got me two guns. No, don't you even move toward that rifle. I'll just fire one of my guns in the air and plug you dead with the other. And I'll toss the other gun alongside you. There won't be no problem. An Indian don't have much rights in this country anyway. You're not getting mercy. Or this ranch. Or taking anything away from me, understand? You better get ready to join your ancestors. I'm telling you, one man will never miss you now. Knowing what you are. And that's Hale Chalmers.
I never figured that.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Allstate Insurance Companies and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
It's 12 o'clock midnight. This is KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. Actor Sal Mineo is reported dead, an apparent murder victim in North Hollywood. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mineo, a teenage Hollywood star who grew up to continue as a major box office attraction, is reported dead this morning at the age of 39. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department reports he was found, having been stabbed to death apparently, behind an apartment complex in North Hollywood. Further details were not available immediately. The prosecution all but wrapped up presentation of its case yesterday in the Patricia Hearst bank robbery trial after playing to the jury a tape recording in which the 21-year-old newspaper heiress, identifying herself as Tanya, bragged about her part in the holdup of the Hibernia Bank branch in San Francisco. U.S. Attorney James Browning Jr. said he needs about 1 hour today to nail down the final points in the government case. He's presented 32 witnesses, a movie of the robbery, and the taped admissions made by the defendant. Then the defense gets its turn, and defense attorney F. Lee Bailey says his first witness will be former fiancé Stephen Weed. Unknown to the jury, an explosion, apparently the work of terrorist bombers, caused an estimated $1 million damage to art objects in the guest house at the mountaintop Hearst Castle in San Simeon, California. The mansion complex was built half a century ago by Miss Hearst's grandfather, William Randolph Hearst. Her father, Randolph Hearst, ended a long, self-imposed public silence following the blast.
It's a vicious, stupid thing to do. I think it's an outrage. This is a monument. It's owned by the people of California. And it's done by the same group of people, the same type of people that kidnap Patty or do any of the bombings around here. They're for, frankly, publicity and a form of terrorism.
CBS News continues following this message.
Imagine living without electricity, or indoor plumbing, or food when you're hungry, or clothing when you're cold, or a job when you need money, or a school to get an education. Millions of children around the world don't have to imagine. They live that way. But there is hope, and you're it. By contributing to Save the Children Federation, you can help erase a lifetime of misery. All it takes is a few dollars. Won't you please send your check to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017.
I'm Ed Ingalls for CBS Radio Sports. The 1976 Winter Olympics are underway in Innsbruck, and I'm here on the scene at the figure and speed skating rinks and the ski courses to bring you daily reports on these great events. You can hear my reports direct from Austria in special broadcast Monday through Friday, with extra coverage daily in all regular CBS Radio Sports broadcasts. Listen for the Winter Olympics daily through February 15th over most of the CBS Radio Network stations.
The retaliation threatened by the Irish Republican Army after one of its leaders died in a London jail following a two-month-long hunger strike developed as feared, and there are threats of more to come. Details from David Capper in Belfast.
A policeman has been shot and killed in Northern Ireland as a wave of violence sweeps the country. Most of the trouble came with news of the death of hunger striker Frank Stagg in prison in England. Groups of youths went on a rampage in Catholic areas of Belfast, setting trucks and buses on fire and firebombing stores. Gradually, the violence spread to country districts, with many buses hijacked and set on fire. Shots have been fired at troops, but the killing of a policeman while on patrol in a village in County Londonderry is the only death reported so far. At a torchlight procession in West Belfast, an Irish Republican spokesman said the IRA would avenge Stagg's death. This is David Capper for CBS News in Belfast.
An Icelandic gunboat was rammed and heavily damaged by a British frigate off Iceland's northern coast last night, according to an Icelandic Coast Guard report. In London, the British Defense Ministry gave a different version of the collision, blaming the Icelandic ship for turning half to port across the bows of the British frigate. More CBS News in a moment.
This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you're one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95, subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
A flower, believed to be the oldest botanical specimen ever discovered in Europe, has been found by English workmen in the east wall of Romsey Abbey. The workmen were removing medieval paintings from the wall when they found a rose behind some plaster. A botanist was summoned and spent 4 hours lifting out the rose, about 1.5 inches in diameter, using a kitchen spoon to remove the fragile flower from the plaster. She said it was absolutely nerve-wracking. The perfectly preserved rose is believed to be more than 800 years old. So that's young compared to the posy discovered in Tutankhamun's tomb. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on Music Radio 97 for Friday morning, February 13th. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. It may be Friday the 13th, but this is going to be a lucky day. Fantastic. Got some good music for you. I'll have local news for you also at 12:30. Nobody's superstitious around here. Look out for that black cat.